So there it's like this. V'chasher hisparsem chibureinu zeh. Okay, so when our work became famous, meaning to say the Chibur HaGadol, the Yad, right?
Magnum opus.
The magnum opus.
The word.
That's right, and it spread out across the lands. So it was told to us that one of the Talmidim in the Damascus said that there's no tzchias amazim, and that the body and that the soul will not return to the body after it separates, and they said to him, everyone said to him, how could you say this? And he started to bring rayas from the Rambam. He said he started to bring him rayas. He brought him rayas from what we wrote in the Yad, that the tachlis is olam haba, and that in olam haba there is no guf. So that was his rayas. Look, the Rambam says the ultimate purpose is olam haba, and there's no guf there. So what's so there's no tchias mesim. And they started to bring him rayas from everything that's known, minam aforsam, be'uma, medivrei chachamim, harabonim, bozeh. And he said, that's all a mashal. Every time they brought him a raya from Chazal, mashal, I will not deviate from the Rambam. Everything is a mashal. And after we found out about this, we just didn't pay any attention to it. We said, zeh batal b'miyuto. No one could be that foolish. And there's nobody who will think v'lo misha yiksha olav havonas mashamarnu. Nobody's gonna get confused about what we really mean. Like, so okay, he's an isolated lunatic. He didn't really think much about it. Okay. Then, a few years later, we got another letter from Taman. And they asked us about things, and they said that there's somebody around there who said that the guf will die and disintegrate, and the nefesh will never return to it, and that the gmul and the onesh are only with regards to the nefesh. And again, they brought a raya from what the Rambam says about Olam Haba. And when they mentioned the Divrei Chachamim again, they also said it's a mashal. So that it recurred, the same thing recurred, this time in Taman, right? The Omar Lanu HaShoel Shehespashit Eitzlam Zehadas. He said, "This is catching on. This is becoming a popular belief." And he wanted a tshuva from the Rambam. So he said, "We answered their question and explained to them that tchias hamesim is pinas Torah. It's one of the yisodos, and that means that the soul returns to the body, and it's not a mashal. And olam haba." And Olam Haba is after Tchias HaMesim, like we said in Chelek. And we thought that's enough. And then...
Slowly learning how stupid man really is.
Right.
They never brought any rayas from the Mishneh Torah. There's such a thing as Tchias HaMesim.
The Ram himself.
Yeah.
You mean because he says it openly?
Yeah.
I know. Right.
I mean, the guy's corrupting the book anyway, so...
Right. I thought I was confused about it. I was like, this is...
Right. Yeah. So, okay, so now he says in this year, he has in there what the English year is. Like
1189.
We got letters from some of our friends in Bovel. And they mentioned...
This year is 1191 he's up to.
1191. And they mentioned that someone in Taman, someone in Yemen... asked about these things, hohem ba'atzmam. He says it means about the Rambam Shita. I'm not sure what it means exactly. They asked, shol al hainyonim hohem ba'atzmam. They asked the Rosh Hashiva in Bavel, Shmuel HaLevi. What is that? Who was Nismach in Baghdad in our time, and he wrote a book on Tchias HaMesim. Okay. And he said that what we say about Tchias HaMesim, some of it is a mistake, and some of it, he says, you can answer up. And he helped us a little bit, but he didn't do much. Okay, so there was someone now in Baghdad wrote a book, a Maimon Tchias HaMesim, and he said that the Rambam is making mistakes about Tchias HaMesim. And he was a little bit malamed zchus on some of the things that we said, but essentially he said we're wrong. And so after all of these letters were sent to us, after these letters, and then this book itself was sent to us, that this Gaon put together. And we saw in them, he had a kibbutz of drushos and haggados. And he says, but it's well known to everybody that ein hamevukash min hachachomim sipur hadrushos v'hamaisios hohein haneflos bilashona. Says it's known that what is the mevukash min hachachomim means what is sought by the chachamim. So he says, it's not sought by the chachamim stories and just a telling of the drushos and the astounding actions, ha'maisios ha'heim ha'neflos b'lashonam, like the women talk about in the Beis Havel again, right? In other words, we're not interested in the sensational things, Most people, average person, he's interested in, what catches his interest is sensationalism. Something that's, so a book of interesting sounding stories, that's popular, right? Says that's not what a chacham is looking for. What is mevukash? Oval ha-mevukash mehem lefarsham ulevar inyoneim. What the chacham wants is to understand them. He wants to know what the meaning of these drushos and maisios neflos. Ad sheye uso la muskal o yikrivu elav. In other words, this the Ram comes back to later on, also an important theme he comes into, discusses later too, is that for the chacham wants to understand. I mean, what is valuable to him is a gain in knowledge. So it's like, who is it? I think the Shmuel HaNogid, he has in the back of Brachos the introduction to the Mavo HaTalmud, right? So he talks about Agadita. So he says Agadita is the type of thing that to the degree that you understand and you gain knowledge from it, it's helpful and it's good. And what you don't understand from it, it just doesn't help you. It's not Milo, not Mord. It's not... You can only take from it, and it's only valuable to the degree that it gives you information, that it gives you knowledge. But just that it's fascinating stories, that's not what the Chacham is looking for. So he's putting this guy down a little bit. He's saying he basically made a big book of collecting all the funny mimery, all the strange drushes and stories. But that's not what a Chacham is looking for. He's not looking for a collection of interesting stories. It's like the Rashba said. I remember that in the drasha, he says sometimes sometimes Chazal would say things to catch people's attention. Like a Rebbe was giving a drasha and the people were falling asleep. So he says there was a woman in Mitzrayim who gave birth to 600,000 people. Everyone started waking up after that.
All the women woke up.
Right. So he said there was.
Well, that's why they would throw these things in.
That's what the Rashba says. So sometimes. Sometimes Chazal say things like in a strange way just to get people awake, just to wake people up a little. Really, that's what he says. So he says that that Rebbe was giving a drasha and the people were falling asleep. And so he said there was one woman who gave birth to 600,000 people. So he said, who was it? It was Yocheved. Because it says, Oz Yosher Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. That Moshe was equal to the entire Klal Yisrael. So she gave birth to Moshe, and Moshe is equal to 600,000. So it's like she gave birth to 600,000 people. So the Rashbas don't try to darshan that and look for a deeper idea. It's not, he wasn't trying to make some deep statement by saying that, Yocheved gave birth to 600,000 people. It was just for the Hamon. Hamon liked to hear something that's, you know.
Fantastic.
I heard a great thing today from Rebbe. Fantastic. There was a woman who gave birth. Right? All right, now he goes into, I mean, he goes into like a little bit of a discussion here about how this guy didn't know heads from tails in philosophy. I mean, I don't know. I'll just run through it. But he's saying, he says, and what was more astounding was the things he said about the philosophers, about the soul. So he says, and this is a proof that he's confusing these midabrim, who the Rambam does not like, these Muslim philosophers. He's confusing them with the philosophers. In other words, he's calling, what he's calling philosophers, he really must be talking about these Mitukalman guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's that, Matt? You know, there's the two groups, so the philosophers, like Aristotle, you know, those guys, and their opinions about the soul. And then there are these Midabrim. So he says, when this guy's criticizing philosophers, he's really representing the opinion of these Midabrim. The Muslim groups, yeah. And then he says like this, V'hanifla, it's just a good line, I'll just repeat it up here. V'hanifla mikol masharinu bo, what is most astounding of everything we saw. Ritzoni lomar b'mamar ahu, I mean in this particular, you know, treatise. V'afal pisha kulo pela, even though the whole thing is a pela, but this one stands out as a real pela. Is that he said that the philosophers don't say it's impossible that the soul should return to the body after it separates. But it's part of the class of the possible. Okay, so he says he doesn't know what he's talking about. He has no idea what he's talking about. He doesn't know the philosophers, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But in other words, but this is an important point, because... he says, "She'ain lo yedia v'zeh maimer yora shehamidabrim eitz loheim chachmei afilosim." This proves that when he talks about the philosophers, he's really talking about the midabrim. "V'she'ain lo yedia b'drachim asher behem yivchanu afilosim." He has no idea about the way that the philosophers investigated things, the way they understood things. "Ha'hechrochi v'hanimno v'ho'efsha." This is a very common theme in the you know, in the Rambam, in Chovos Levovos talks a lot about this also. You know, there's the three categories. Everything is broken down into three categories. There's the Muchrach, the Nimna, and the Efsha. Right? They're the things that have to be. Right? Have to be. Things that cannot be, and things that could be. So he's saying that the philosophers put the soul returning to the body in the category of the Efshir. He says that's not true. He doesn't understand it, because to the philosophers, for the soul to return back to the body is simply nimna. There's no natural way that such a thing can happen. When he means possible, impossible, and Efshir, he means in terms of nature. And anyway, so basically, this guy from Baghdad. Wrote this, had some pretty strange ideas. V'ra'inu pela acher. We saw another astounding thing. She'ein la seichel eitzel zeh hagon zikaron. He didn't mention seichel at all. Never mentioned the seichel. And we don't know if the nefesh and the seichel are one to him, or if the nefesh remains and the seichel is gone, or the seichel remains and the nefesh is gone, is destroyed. And maybe that's the nefesh that the philosophers, v'hi ha-nefesh y'arma ha-filosofim lo yida'uha, that the philosophers, maybe that's the nefesh that the philosophers didn't know, and one said it is the blood. All right, anyway. So he says, if he would have been satisfied with just collecting the drushas and the maisios and explaining the psukim, then hoya hanos v'haroi l'kiyotzi bo. Yeah. What does he mean there? If he would have just collected these things and the psukim that all explain that tchias amesim they all explained explicitly that that Tchias HaMesim is mentioned in the Torah. That would have been good. Sof Dover Kol Moshe Omro O Rubo Kvar Nemar Kyotzibo O Pachos Menu. No, he didn't really. Most of what he said already was mentioned. Main Kavanah Sein of Amorin Uzel Lachlok Al Dover Moshe Kol Oso Amay Marahu. I says that our intention here is not really to pick apart his thing. I just have to mention it, out of necessity, so that you know what we're talking about here. He says, but. He says, "Of al kavanasenu limkom hatoelas amagas limislamed." Our intention is just to do something that will be beneficial to a learner, to someone who's learning himself. Lo lamasha yitola beezras ish vehagdaloso obashpolas acher vaktonaso. We're not interested in. We're not interested, basically, saying in getting into some sort of argument with somebody, trying to knock them down, something like that. He says, "Darkei hamachlokes varisa mutaros b'misha yirta leches behen." The way of argument and destruction are permitted if you want to go that way. V'Hashem yiskor ba'deinu zos haderech lakiyotiba, but Hashem should close from us this path. Now I'm going to start explaining my mimer. Okay, so it's an interesting statement. What does he mean? So it's interesting. The Rambam says that the darkei hamachlokas v'harisa mutaros l'mishiyir t'lechet ben. It's a funny statement. They're permitted. Or some say pesuchos. Maybe it means pesuchos. In other words, he's saying if it's for milchamos Hashem, you have the right to pick out a person who says something wrong, and go through his shita and it comes out that it becomes like a very personally, embarrassing or whatever it is. But he says that's not his way. His way is he's just going to explain his shita. Not going to go through, this point over there. He says he only has to do it in this case because of all of these things that have happened, and he has to clarify that he set the record straight. Okay, now it's like this: Da ata ma'ayin. So you, the ma'ayin, okay, you should know that our intention in this mimer is to explain mashenaaminehu bezos hapina, what we should believe in this yisod, that asher naflu bo hadvarim bein hatalmidim, that fell, that within it fell this disagreement in the talmidim, this confusion arose in the talmidim about tchias hamesim. So the purpose of this maimer is to make it clear what is proper to believe about it. Okay, ve'ein b'zeh ha'maymar dover ha'nosif klal al kol ma'shamar nu'a b'feirish ha'mishna o'b'chibur. I'm not adding anything at all to what was already explained in the Perish HaMishnayis or in the Yad. Oval yesh bo kefil inyanim. I have repeated things, right? Double. V'ha'arocha ha'monis. And popular... And a popular arichas here. I'm going to be like, a lengthy discussion for the Hamon. V'tosefes biur yevinu anoshim v'asicholim. An extra clarification that the women and the fools should understand. Lo zulazeh. So if you finish this maimer and you still don't understand. Okay. So... Okay, so he says like this. Va'omar shetchias ha'mesam ha'mefursemes ha'nodas b'moseinu ha'muskam olea meklal kitoseinu asher rav zichra batfilus v'amorim batchinos shechibram advim gedolei chomim shemilei mimena divrei ha'talmud v'mdrashos. So this idea of tchias ha'mesam is very well known. It's in, everybody agrees upon it. It's mentioned many times in tefillah and in tachanunim. And in that the Nevi'im put together, and the Gedolei Chachamim put together, and the Gemara and the Midrashos are filled of In Yana, what is it? It's this. Shuv zos hanefesh laguf acharei hiparda. Couldn't be simpler. It just simply means that. That the soul will return, this soul will return to the guf after it separates. V'hu mashalo nishma ba'um machlokos. There was never a question about this before. Ein bo perush klal. It has no allegorical meaning at all. Okay. V'ein mutter lahamin be'ish me'anshi ados shehu ma'amin chiluf zeh. You're not allowed. It's a little bit of a strange line. He has like he translates it funny in the bottom of there. How do you translate it? Ein mutter lahamin be'ish me'anshi ados shehu ma'amin chiluf zeh. You're not allowed to believe a better person who is a religious person, that he believes anything other than this. He says, "Amakabel shmo shaploni eino mamim b'tchias amesim areya makabel lashnar." Right. Says you're not allowed to believe something about it. You're not allowed to believe that about somebody that he doesn't believe in tchias amesim. Okay. V'hinni asa levar lezeh lecho bezeh ha'maymar lama lo nefarish eila lashonos. So I'm going to explain to you later on in this book why we don't take those terms and that language like we do other languages in the Torah. And a lot of times you have things in the Torah, we take them and we say it's a mashal. So how come by the Tchias HaMesim we don't? So he says, Daniel already said a statement that's impossible to take as an allegory. And he said as follows, V'rabim mi yeshene admas ofar yakitsu. Many of the sleepers of the ground will awaken. Eila l'chai olam v'eila l'chai rafos v'lidon olam. These to chaye olam and these to charofos and lidron olam. Right, and these for shame and everlasting abhorrence. Okay. V'omar ha-malach lo, v'ato lech la-keitz v'tanuach v'ta'amod l'gorolcho l'keitz ha-yamin. The malach said to him, go to the keitz and rest, and you'll stand up in your lot at the end of the days. So he says, that pasuk is, as there's no two ways about it, it's a direct statement of Tchias HaMesim. Ve'omnom, Masha Zohar Aleinu, Misha Zohar, but the one who says about what we said, that we said Tchias HaMesim in the Pasuk as a Mashal, that's an absolute lie. And he's completely distorted, it's a complete distortion of what we said. V'hinei Chibureinu Kvar Nisfarsimu. Ram says, our book is very well known. V'yikaru v'yeroe anu amoreinu zeh. Read it and show it to us. Where did we say this? Ella im amarnua. So if you're going to say about what the Chachamim say, that the Mesa Yechezkel, there's a machlokus in the Gemara about. So that's an interesting case over there. It says by Yechezkel is a nevuah. There's a parak in Yechezkel where Hashem says to him, he was in Golus, and Hashem said to Yechezkel, look at these dried bones, right? And it seems like they can never come back to life, right? She says these bones will come back to life. And just like these bones come back to life, these bones are a marshal for Klal Yisrael, and although they seem right now that they're like a withered, dried out bones, and they look like they have no possibility of life, seems like the furthest removed from them, they too will come back to become a living body. So it says the bones gather together, right? So the bones came back together, the flesh covered them, the skin covered them, and they got up and they lived. So the Gemara says, the machlokas in the Gemara, Did that really happen, or was it just a nevuah to Yechezkel? Huh?
Well, the Rosh would say.
So it's interesting. I mean, the Gemara itself argues. So the Rambam is saying, says that, so his point though is like this, that the Gemara says, the Gemara has a machlokas, if it was literal or if it was a mashal in his nevuah. So maybe people will say that we say Tchias HaMesim is a mashal because Bama Shekvar Amru Chachmei Yisrael. The Chachmei Yisrael say that it was that Mesa Yechezkel was a machlokas in the Gemara. He says, V'chol davar shish bo machlokas lo yovi el maisa, and anything that is a machlokas and is not la maisa, you have the right to decide either way. And we already mentioned this many times in the Parish of Shnayas. Okay. So that's the only thing, that's the closest thing you can say about the Rambam. That he holds that anytime there's a machlokas, that's not la maisa. There's no such thing as psak. That's his famous thing. The Rambam says there's no such thing as psak when it comes to shittas that are not nogei l'halacha. And so there's a machlokas in the Gemara about whether it's literal or not. And we hold that you don't have to, that you could take either side, whichever side you feel you think is better, you have a right to go with. But that's a different thing, right? That's not about Tchias HaMesim itself. That's just about that particular case. It's like this, and you'll see V'chein Yireh Elanu Min HaMa'amar Meim She'elo Anashim Asher Yashuvu Nafshosam L'Gufim Meim. So he says, so you see from this though, that what? That the people who come back to life, eat, drink, have children, and they die after a long life, like the life of in Yemosa Mashiach. So then Ram is explaining a little bit how he views the idea. How is he's trying to explain how he fits in Tchias HaMesim with Olam Haba. So he says Tchias HaMesim means they'll come back to life, they'll live a normal life, and it'll be a long life, like the life of Yemosa Mashiach. Apparently it'll be in the time of Mashiach, he's saying. But the life that has no death after it, that's Olam Haba. Because there's no guf in Olam Haba. Because we believe, and it's true, by anyone who's intelligent, that Olam Haba is nefashos mibilti gufos. Again, like Malachim. And the explanation is again, like he said before, that the guf is only... the guf only has kalim for the work of the nefesh. Okay, what does that mean? It means like this, that you can divide the guf into three parts. There are the tools with which it completes its nutrition. Okay, there are limbs for nutrition, like the mouth, the stomach. Okay. And then there are kalim for reproduction. Okay. And then there are the kalim that help the body just get what it needs, like eyes and other senses. Okay. And then he goes into a little bit of anatomy here. The veins and the nerves and the tendons and all of those things. That facilitates motion. Without those, a person wouldn't be able to move towards the food that he needs, or to run away from something that will destroy him. And now the Rambam says very interesting over here. Just like a person cannot, and since a person cannot get all of his nutritional needs without a lot of work that require planning and thinking through, he has a koach hasichli. Interesting. Linahel bo hamalochos. So the Rambam is saying there is a certain koach hasichli that's purely functional and really akin to his limbs, his physical limbs. And he has that in Shmona Prakam, right? He discusses the soul, the intellectual soul. He breaks it up into components, right? There's like the planning part, there's the imaginative part, like different things. But here he's talking about the part of man that is like a, the intellect of man that's really more a practical type of an intellect. And that's so that he can build his tools and all that kind of thing. Right? So that's not really that different from animal intelligence. It's more sophisticated by man, but that's not really the human intelligence, what we call the real seichel. So it's interesting. See, the Rambam was not bothered, did not think that the tool making is a unique, that's not what we call the essence of man. In fact, we see animals make tools too. Okay.
It's not abstract.
It's not seeing an abstract reality. It's just planning out steps that have to be done. So it comes out anyway that all of these kalim are practical for work, right? He also has kalim tviyim yasabim lochayos. He also has his hands and his legs, and feet. He says, and not just for walking. But anyway, but the bottom line is that all of these things are only there to facilitate his need to sustain himself. Through nutrition and to sustain the species. So again, he says, if there's no need for this, then all of this is just levatala. And since we say that in Olam Haba there's no achila, shtiya, and tashmish, so then they're basically, Chazal are telling you, there's no guf. Because God would not create something levatala. And he only makes something for something else. Okay, that's an interesting discussion we had a little bit about last year. I mean, what about the last thing? But he says, V'chalila lo v'chos, she'yiyu pu'ulosav ha'mesukanos ki'pu'ulos ovdei atzlamim. He said, chas v'shalom, chalila v'chas. That God's actions should be like the actions of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. What does it mean? Einayim lohem v'lo yiru. Oznayim v'lohem v'lo yishmu. Af lohem v'lo yirichun. He says, that's a genai. We say the Ovdei Kochavim are foolish because they're making these things that don't function. They're making something that looks like an eye, but it doesn't see. So he says, what would be the purpose? That's what he means, that God doesn't make something except for something else, meaning to say, a tool, something that essentially is a tool for usage, is not going to be if there's no need for that usage. So that would be crazy. He says, Kein Hashem Eitzel Elu. So God, according to these people, are going to create a goof, and it's not going to do anything for no reason. So maybe you'll say that the bodies are different, right? Maybe they're circles or poles or some other sort of geometric feature of a formation. He says, this is just nonsense. That's just nonsense. That's divrei shchok. In other words, you can remove the question by saying, yeah, there won't be eyes, there won't be, but there'll be a circle. There'll just be a blob. He says, that's divrei shchok. Better off if they who would quiet these people, and that would be wisdom for them. Okay, that's a pasuk. So he says, and the siba for all of this is what we already explained, that by the Hamon Why do they insist on this idea that there's going to be a body in Tchias HaMesim and it's going to be the ultimate state of Olam Haba forever? Because Ein Mitzias Etzlam El Aleguf. Again, that's what they're stuck in. Or what is found in the body. And whatever is not a body to them is not found. Okay, one seems second. Like, yeah, go ahead.
Seems like a pretty hard jab at some Rishonim who held that way.
About the Divrei Schok. Well, they just had the Schok part, right? That's not as bad as saying...
Yeah,
that was like a different goof, right?
Like
yeah.
A blob.
Like a blob. Ooh, but one second. So he says, a nicely shaped blob, I think. More, you know, it would be like some sort of... well, look, you know, I mean... You know, the Rambam says that, but even the Rambam himself had an idea of the spheres being some sort of intelligence in a perfect type of a body. But he doesn't like the idea that you'd come back like that. But anyway, so again, he goes over again 100 times over here about the problem that people cannot, that the regular guy, the Hamon, they don't believe something unless it's physical. And it has a guf, and whatever does not have a guf does not exist to them. And listen to this: v'chol asher yirtu lachazek mitzius inyon echad. Whenever they want to make something more real, yosifu gashmus. They add physicality to it. Okay, they make it more physical. We mentioned this many times, and yeah, in the Mora. And whoever wants to criticize us for this belief, that's fine. We don't mind this at all. And we choose the path, like we said in the Moreh Nevuchim, that to help one intelligent guy understand the truth, even if we distance 1,000 fools. Okay, but I just want to explain a little more clearly the idea of what it means that the Hamon are looking for the guf, and they only believe in the guf, and whatever is not a guf to them is not real, and the chacham is the opposite. I just want to clarify, I just want to add one point to that. I just want to give it a little more of a, see if I can explain it a little bit more. See, I think the thing is like this, is that, what does it mean when he says, they believe in something and they want to make it more real, they add physicality to it. And he says in the Mora, you know, the Chacham understands something be'ion with his intelligence. And they don't. They look at things like in their imagination. So I think the thing is, it comes down to, you know, it's a simple point, but I just want to talk it out for a minute. That everybody has an idea of reality, okay, but there's really like a different starting point for the average, for the Hamon and for the Chacham. What I mean to say is like this: the Hamon, their belief in reality really stems from themselves, okay. A person is to himself, that is the full reality. And when they want to understand, and they never really fully escape their own framework as the framework of reality. And therefore, when they believe something, they say, well, I feel it. I can, you know, it has an effect on me. It filters through their main source of reality is themselves. So for something to be real to them, it has to go through their essential relationship to reality, which is themselves. And if it doesn't fit in to like a sense of theirs or a feeling, it doesn't relate to them, it's just some abstract idea that doesn't, the foundation of their reality is really themselves and their own experiences and their own feelings. And that's why things you know, people say, well, it feels right to me, and these kinds of things, because that really is their barometer of reality, is like a child. They never got out of that childish, never broke free completely of that childish idea of you know, the themselves being the essence of, you know, the center of existence. But a Chacham's idea of reality is external to himself. That is exactly what a Chacham is. He recognizes that there's a reality there's a truth that is not based on him. It's based on something objective. So to him, he's not, to him, what, no, so in other words, you have to sort of have an idea of what is your source of reality. So to the average person, the whole center and source and barometer of reality is himself, in a very experiential way. But to a Chacham, he recognizes that there's a reality outside of himself. And therefore, to the Chacham, when he wants to see something to be more real, he's looking for more of an objective idea associated with it. He's looking for a way of proving that it must be based on reason. Because he's looking for something that's not dependent on him. He's looking for something that he can show you and he can see must be because of certain concepts. But the regular person, when he wants to know if something is real, it has to be something that he can relate to and can fit into his own sense of the world itself. If it doesn't fit into to his perceptions and his senses and his feelings, then it's just an abstract thing. It doesn't really have an existence to him, because existence to him really is based on his existence. And everything to be more real has to be able to relate to his existence. But the Chacham sees an existence and a reality beyond himself. And that's really like Ovdei Avodah Zarah are that way. You know, and that's why, that's the whole idea of you, of projecting onto reality your own imagination. You know what I mean? That's the way most people are. They start with themselves, and then they project out onto the world, to other things. And the idea that there's a reality that is completely divorced from them is just, that's not something that they hop onto. They look at it the other way. If it comes, it has to sort of pass through them in a certain sense in order to be considered part of reality. So in that sense, it's got to be something they can relate to. But the Chacham is the opposite. Okay.